Welcome to Inova Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
So, hey, I have a treat for you today. I have a good friend named Christy Geiger. She is actually one of my former coaches, and she coached me for a little over a year, a few years ago. And she is on the podcast with me this week. Christy has been doing executive coaching for quite a long time, has a background in a master's in counseling and things like that, and so I'm really thrilled to be able to share this conversation with you. This is part one of a two-part conversation we're going to have about trends in leadership or issues in leadership that that she sees and that she deals with clients on. So this is I asked her to, in starting off the conversation, I ask her to give me five leadership trends or five things in leadership that she's noticing with the clients that she works with. And she said, so we went through the first three, and we're going to get back together in a couple of weeks and do a second part to this podcast. So we're going to talk about a couple of more, and then a couple, I have another question that, that I want to bring up with her as well. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. She's a great coach and a great lady, and I'm thankful for her investment in my life. So, I hope you enjoy this podcast with her. Make sure to like this on Facebook, go to the wdavidphillips.com and put a comment in. Let me know what you think, or review this on iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at wdphillips, and would love to hear feedback on that. So it's time for Christy and I to share some things with you. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks. So let's talk about leadership for a minute, and let's talk about, because I know you've been coaching for years, so let's talk about in the last year, five things. Give me five things that people are coming, like leadership things that have really kind of popped up in the last year. Current leadership issues.
It's a good question. I don't know that I'd say these are current. I just say, I mean, they're current, but they're old things that are still relevant today.
Okay.
That's how I say it. So one, I think people figuring out vision and direction is still an issue.
Why do you think that's so hard? Because I think that too. I think that's huge. And even in my own life, I wonder about that. Why do you think that's so hard?
You know, I think it's interesting because any good leader knows that they have to reinvent themselves or reinvent their organization in order to stay fresh.
Okay.
And I think that is a mystery for most people. Like, you've got a couple people who have the wonderful gift of being futuristic, not fortune tellers, but futuristic. Is that one of yours?
Yeah.
Yes. I think it is too. So some people have that gift, so they have a sense of where things are going, what the trend is. But it still doesn't tell them exactly what to do, but they have a greater inkling of it. And in order to really reinvent yourself, I think most people start where they're at. So you're looking, you're like, okay, here's where we're at. Where do we want to go? So you're trying to figure out your vision based on where you're at to connect your dots. But usually good vision is way out there, and then you connect the dot back to where you are and how to get there. So when people start to, because otherwise you don't move fast enough, right?
Right.
So if you're trying to evolve from where you're at, you don't really imagine enough. You don't get a big enough vision. You're like, well, what's different? I don't know. How could we really change that? Like, you kind of end up reinventing the same thing. Like, look at Kodak, right?
Right.
They can't really come up with something totally revolutionary because you're so in the box with what you presently have to offer, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, if I interrupt you too much, just tell me. But, you know, one of the things when I think about that, when I think about what Kodak didn't do is Kodak didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were a cam. They thought they were a camera company, but they're really a company that provides two things: memories and images.
Mm-hmm. See, but if they had connected with that, then they could have gotten a future
right
picture clear. But because they thought they were a camera company, then when they were trying to get vision, they're like, oh, what's new about cameras? What's different? Ooh, let's make a flat camera called the disc camera.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're almost limited because you're defined. So that's a good point. Like, you know, kind of going back to who are you? But I think it's hard when you think that you're something, but it's not broad enough.
Right.
So...
yeah, you know, and walking into mystery is never easy.
Right. And it's risk. There's a lot of risk. Usually, well, you know, you're futuristic, right? Like, futuristic doesn't usually have a lot of rationale, or it doesn't necessarily make sense why you're going that direction. You just kind of have a feeling.
Right.
You have a sense. You have a intuition about it. And so you kind of head that way, not really knowing. You can't fully explain it. You can't justify it. There's no research indicating why you should do that.
Right.
And that's a lot of people shy away from that. It's too risky. It's too unsubstantiated.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if you're answering to board members and shareholders and those kinds of things, there's got to be some justification other than trust me.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, trust me is, it's that's fun. You know, you, just trust me. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Good.
Okay. Yeah. So vision, so vision's tough. And so everybody's looking for it. How do you help people get there? How do you help people go there?
Good question. So I think it's kind of what you were saying before about going back to who you are, right? Okay. So, and when you understand, and it's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, my personal mission, if I'm working for a corporate organization, my mission, you know, why do I get to barf that on this corporate organization? Why should that matter, right? But yet, I kind of believe that we are called into situations and organizations at the time that we need to be there, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, you can see that in ministry and nonprofits. You can see that in profit things, right? So, and to me, that's almost, it's interesting because you see a trend of the longevity of leaders. And I think that's an interesting concept. Like, is it good to have a long leader, or is it better to have shorter term leaders? And in this principle, I almost think sometimes a shorter term leader, and I don't mean like 2 or 4 years, like a 10-year term, 7 to 12 years, right? So a 7 to 12 year leader, would that allow an organization to see and develop a new suite of skills, a new vision for something, to go to that level, and then that next leader comes in to do whatever that next level is, right? So I think sometimes an organization is in need of a visionary, and they see the vision and they share the vision and they inspire people to see what's possible. But visionaries aren't usually implementers. So then that leader leaves, and sometimes you can pair your visionary and implementer, and that works fine. And, you know, on a corporate team, there's lots of players, so it might work fine.
Right.
But sometimes when that leader leaves, then that next implementer comes in, or, you know, the person who's going to hone and refine that vision and start to implement it. And then once you have that implemented, you probably threw a lot of noodles on the wall, some worked, some didn't. So then that next leader might come in and be, you know, the refiner. So you've got your visionary, your implementer, and then your refiner of whatever that implementer did. And then after that refiner, you probably need a new visionary again, because by that point, you're 20 years down the road and you better be reinventing.
Right.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes I think it's what each person is bringing. So then if you can get in touch with who you are, what your passions are, and, you know, just by showing up in who you are, you kind of naturally create this vision. Not that the organization is about your agenda. You're about the organization's agenda. But as you show up, just kind of open hand, like, here, use me, then that happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that cycle, gosh, back in 30 years ago when I was in college, you know, you have, and I can see it, there's this cycle that's kind of a sine wave of, you know, starting innovation, you know, peaking, and then the decline, and then you kind of have to, you know, get back to a new innovative mindset to try to reinvent yourself. Otherwise, you're just going to die. So,
right.
You know, otherwise, so you have to turn that sine wave into a circle. And
mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard for a guy who's been there 20 years to do that. And so you need that fresh new blood to come in.
So, right.
And sometimes it's hard to realize that if you're the leader and to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that here. Let me go somewhere else and let somebody else come in with something different. There's
right.
There's an ego or a pride or a, you know, something
right.
there. So.
Right. Or if you're the person sitting there, I don't think that a leader has to change. But like you said, if you've got that ego or pride and you can't let go of that, then you might have to.
Yeah.
Right. But you don't have to if you're able to shed your skin well enough. Right. So you can go, oh, okay, this is old skin. You know, like some things that we've been thinking about lately, just in a organization is that you're not changing. Sometimes people go, oh, are we just changing for the sake of change? No. But are you changing because there was something wrong with the way you're doing it? No, not necessarily. But sometimes if you keep your same shell or skeleton of the way you've been doing something, you cannot evolve and come up with the new vision or the new way as long as you're using your old skeleton,
right?
So it's not changing for the sake of change, and it's not saying there's anything wrong with it. But if you want to reinvent yourself, you almost have to take down that skeleton and rebuild a new framework in order to make space for new ideas. Otherwise, you just won't get them.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So that was one.
That's one.
How about another?
Another area that I think, again, nothing new under the sun, but kind of summed up in people and the two challenges of A, finding good people, and then two, the challenge of working with people. And some people are great to work with. It's not that there's anything wrong with people, but it's that, you know, we've got so many different things, from integrating millennials and the way that millennials work, and millennials don't have the same loyalty as people had years ago. But what do millennials have is they want to greatly invest and have significance and do a fantastic job, which is great. But if you're not understanding their motivation and tapping it, then they leave because they'll stay. as long as that's being met. And then when that's not being met, then they move on because they're just going to use their talents where they can be used.
Right.
But sometimes business owners don't really understand that. And so they're like, hey, I'm trying to build a loyal workforce. And I just spent 6 months orientating you to how we do things here. And now you're out of here. What happened? And then they feel upset and frustrated and challenged about how to keep people. But they don't really have the time, energy, and effort to understand what really motivates that person. Mm-hmm. So there's like this challenge of understanding people, age demographics, culture demographics, all of that, like what really motivates people today. And personally, I believe we all kind of act like millennials a bit, you know, even though we kind of snark at millennials sometimes. I don't think baby boomers, Gen Y, Gen X, I think we all resemble a lot of those attributes today. I think it's kind of culture today. So I think figuring out how to work with people and then finding people that are good people, meaning that they want to learn your business, they want to invest. I think people just have a really hard time finding, and then not only finding people, but people seem to want to work, but they don't necessarily want to lead. So you'll, to take the responsibility, right?
Okay.
Who are willing to shoulder the responsibility. So I think that's another challenge. And it also goes back to tenure, right? So the longer you stay someplace, the more you know how things work so that you can implement them and be a leader. But if you keep changing, then it's hard to do that. So I don't know, which is almost contradictory to what I said before. But yeah.
Okay. So people are the hard part about, you need people who will push you,
mm-hmm.
and not be yes folks.
Right.
But at the same time as a leader, you got, there's this odd mix where you have to be confident enough to say, this is what we're doing. At the same time, you have to be humble enough to say, you're right to somebody
mm-hmm.
else. Yep, I was wrong. You were right. This is what we need to do. So finding the people that will push you, and yet also being humble enough to say, yep, you're right. We need to do it that way instead of my way. It takes a unique person to be able to do that.
I agree. It's interesting, though, however, because I think people send mixed messages and it's really confusing. So, for example, a person who's, you know, you've got your leader, your executive of a business, right? And then you've got their leadership team or whatever.
Okay.
And so often, I think that people struggle with too much passivity on that second generation, so mm-hmm. to speak, that second level. So they're like, well, that wasn't my job, or you didn't tell me to do that, or I didn't know you wanted me to create that or evolve that or whatever, right?
Right.
So there's this way that there's more passiveness right here, and the owners or the executive or the leader wants them to rise up and to do that. So then I think there's a challenge or confusion in how do you empower that second generation. And sometimes these people, because these are the people in coaching, right?
Right.
So they're like, they're trying to empower this generation and they're this pool,
well,
right?
Yeah.
And they're trying to call them to greater leadership and to their potential. And it's not, but you'll hear things like you just said, like, oh, well, you're not listening to my ideas or whatever. So there's a way that there's kind of a victimization at this level,
sure.
where they feel highly critical of the leaders. They feel highly critical of the company. They feel highly critical of, you know, that they didn't get the raise or they didn't get the opportunity or wow, the company's doing this and I don't agree with that and whatever. So there's in this, the dynamics of this level kind of has some victimization, some heavy criticism of leadership,
mm-hmm.
a desire to have a voice, a desire not to have the responsibility, a squishiness when it comes to having the responsibility, and almost a really high boundary around, okay, I'm going to own that and I'm not going to own that. That's not my job. Like really high boundaries mm-hmm. around what they're willing to do or what they're not willing to do. So I think it's hard for that executive person to really figure out how to raise that team up into leadership, because it's kind of a mixed message that gets sent. Like, I want to lead, but don't give me that responsibility.
Yeah.
And even I almost would rephrase that is, I don't think they're saying I want to lead. Sometimes people are saying that, but a lot of times they're like, you know, just tell me what you need. I'm happy to do whatever you need. Just tell me what you need. But it's almost like that needs to come from the top. But then when it does, it's like, whoa, whoa, you guys are, you're micromanaging. You're telling me what I got to do. And I don't like that. So it's a weird, it's tough to strike that balance.
Yeah. And it's also tough. You know, I've seen those situations where, people want to lead, but the person that is the executive, even though he says one thing, I want ideas, but when you bring ideas, they get squashed.
And, yes.
And so why bring ideas anymore? You know, so that makes it even more. You have to. Somebody's got to take responsibility, right? So, I understand that the executive always, there's always that pressure, but at the same time, if you've got people who are coming to you with ideas or saying we need this, you know, I've run into those situations where, hey, I want you to look at this, and I'm like, yeah, we can do this, but we've already got the tools in place to do this with another, you know, another. So let's do that, and the, you know, the pushback. Well, I really want you to look at this, and so there's it's almost a lack of trust from the executive to the implementer or to the person who's offering that idea on one level, and so you've got to learn to trust them. You've got to learn to trust your people, and that can be difficult, finding trustworthy people. These days.
I think there's a lack of, you're right. There are sometimes what I would call old school leaders who are just like, you know, from the 1970s, 1980s, maybe even 90s a little bit, but where they're like, I'm the boss, you do it my way, and that's it.
Right.
And that leadership style has got to go away because it just creates all kinds of ripples. But to your point, though, I think what you were just describing is a communication thing. I think everybody has an agenda, and I've heard almost your exact example numerous times in coaching, right?
Right.
Where the person on one level is like, you know, we already have this platform, we already have this tool, and they don't understand, and I've already done all this research and whatever, but I feel like they're just agendas, and it's a lack of communication. So it comes through in a directive rather than sitting down and saying something like, we've become aware of this new tool and we have this XYZ problem, and this tool we believe will solve XYZ problem. We realize that it duplicates this other tool that we have. We're trying to figure out how to solve both problems at the same time,
right,
or whatever it is, right? Versus the other person is, this is my agenda. I've already spent this time. You know, it's almost communicating agendas. To me, that book, Crucial Conversations, I really do love that book. Those authors, the string of authors, are fantastic. They did the book Influencer. They also did the book Crucial Accountability, or Crucial Confrontations. But Crucial Conversations is the first book. And I think that's the key to part of this, because it's just communication. It's a communication breakdown.
Okay.
And yes, sometimes it's people being a jerk, the manager or someone else. People are people, and that does happen. But I think there's a lot of well-meaning people that are all just trying to work hard and do their job. And there's plenty of communication breakdowns in the middle of that.
Okay. So that's Patterson and Grinney. Okay.
Yeah, there's like five authors, I think.
Yeah. McMillan and Switzler. Switzler. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So they just...
Yeah, Patterson, Grinney, McMillan, and
They just updated it a couple of years ago. So, well, that's cool.
Yeah,
I think, you know, I do. I think it's... agenda is a good way to put that. Instead of let's solve this problem, it's I want to. Here's my agenda to solve the problem. You know, instead of what's the best way to solve the problem, it's here's my way to solve the problem. And that comes from both people, right? So here's my way to solve the problem, and I'm going to fight for my way. But if you're not the leader, if you're not the executive and you lose, you almost feel like you haven't been listened to.
Correct. And I think that happens quickly, even when you are being listened to, right?
Right.
Because I think sometimes people who feel disempowered or they don't feel like they have the power and authority that they desire to have, they share their voice. The executive isn't able to completely honor that or do that. And they're like, oh, see, it doesn't matter. They don't listen anyway. Okay, hello. That's not true. That's
right.
Not true, right? Just because you shared and it wasn't, we didn't do it your way, doesn't mean you weren't listened to. That's kind of a soapbox for me. Because I feel like sometimes as kind of a command leader myself, right, that people get all upset. Like if you don't listen to every suggestion they give, they get really upset. And it's like, okay, hold on. This is a two-way street. This is a relationship. This doesn't mean if every one of your agenda items aren't followed, that you're not being listened to. Listen to does not imply that we are doing it your way. Listen to means that we're having a conversation.
Right.
And ideally you'll find some way to work together. But I know the other thing I'll say to that though, too, I do think a challenge for leaders is that you can't always share everything. When I'm coaching people on the what I'll call the second level, I always go, you know what? First of all, what you were saying early, trust me.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to trust them and put the best construction on them and let it go.
Right.
Because they're not always at liberty to share all the factors of why they're making a suggestion. And if A, sometimes they're confidential, B, sometimes there are things that really are none of your business, but they have domino effects. And so they need you to implement your expertise in order for these other pieces to keep moving. So I do have to say sometimes on the level two side, it does drive me crazy because it's almost like the executive leader has to slow down to kind of play this game sometimes when honestly they can't because of it. To me, it's almost a respect issue. Like, please respect that there are so many different things going on up here that if they can listen to you and if you can have a say, great. But sometimes it's not always that simple. And I think on this level, sometimes that there's not always that allowance. There's just quick judgment and criticism of that executive leader trying to control or overpower versus going, wait a minute, they're dealing with like 50 other things that I am not even aware of or thinking of.
Right.
To kind of give them the latitude for that space. So I do have to acknowledge things are not always what they seem.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I will say that goes back to communication too, because there are ways that as an executive, you can say that, look, there's some things that are going on. I can't talk about them right now. I'm asking you to trust me, and this is why I'm making that decision. It has nothing to do with what you're saying. It has, you know, if some of these other factors weren't involved, we might go this way. But
great,
yeah. So
I love that. That's well articulated. That's good.
That's why I was, you know, I taught a class at Tabor College last fall. And one of the things I talked about was that, and I actually did a podcast on it too, that communication and credibility are the two most important factors in leadership.
Mm.
And because it's vision, and then it's integrity. You have to be able to communicate because leadership is about vision. And it's about asking people to trust you to lead you somewhere, to take you somewhere. That if you don't communicate that well, and you don't have the credibility, the investment in people, the things that you the relationships with people that will give them a reason to trust you, they're not going to follow you.
Yes, that's great.
And so I think one of the biggest issues we have in leadership is the communication aspect. And if you don't communicate your what's going on in your head, and they don't communicate what's going on in their head, then nothing gets done. It turns into command leadership. which is really not leadership at all. It's
right. The dictator leadership is a problemo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Especially with the younger generation, with the millennial generation. So. Yeah. All right, that's, I don't know, that was, I don't even know what number that was, that's three or four.
That was only two.
Oh, that's only two. Well, give
I don't
me
know,
another
we
one.
Might have to, we might have to break this up into a couple segments.
We can do that. Yeah, because it's 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock your time. Yeah, so let's do one more, and then if we can break it up and do something else. Do it another time.
Let's see, one more challenge. The next two I think are kind of similar, but okay, I'll just go with the next one that I had thought of and wrote down.
Okay.
So the next one I think is getting traction. And so traction is kind of interlaced with culture, right? So I think that so there's this culture people side of it that we were just talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I love what you were saying, communication, credibility, totally great, right? So if you don't have communication, they don't understand why you're going where you're going, and then you don't have the credibility, right? So they're not following you. So this culture side, and then also culture, as you and I both have, like, we love the facets of culture, right?
Right.
Culture is such an invisible, you know, it's like steam or a scent in the air. Mm-hmm. So culture is very invisible, right? So you've got, like, people, and really, I think people and the energy between people is what creates culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got kind of this people culture bit, and then you've got traction, which I'm going to make this more of a concrete thing. So traction, I believe, is more about the goals. Like, where are we headed? What are we trying to achieve? We want to grow the business by this amount, or we want to take the organization from here and go here. Like, the traction side of it is more like concrete, hard objectives, versus this other side, the culture people side, is more the soft, invisible, you know, who is creating the energy in order for these things to happen. So they're totally interlaced. I think that a lot of leaders struggle with that whole dynamic of how to make that go, how to make the wheels on that car move, because they might get traction on the goal side, but then the culture, there's some glitch in the culture, or there's some glitch with their team.
Right.
And so this left side isn't moving at the same rate of this. So then they start pounding on this side, kind of that, you know, that to me, that's where some of the communication breaks down, right? They're stressed, they're ticked, they're not meeting their goals and objectives. So they start pressing on their people, which affects the culture, whatever. So there's that. Or you've got a really fun and playful culture. You've got a great traditional culture. You've got whatever going on in the culture. You've got loyal people who've been there for years and years and are amazing, whatever, but they're not getting any traction, or they're not able to reinvent themselves, or they're not doing whatever. So the leaders trying to get all of those facets or those wheels on the car moving together is really challenging. And some leaders have a really hard time seeing the culture impact and they invalidate it. Like, it's nothing. I don't see anything. It's not there. Well, it is there. Some people feel like, you know, people just need to get on board, and they get frustrated with people rather than, how do you get the intangible of people to go your direction? And then with the traction, you know, that's where leaders can get super overwhelmed and just like completely shut down and go, well, maybe my vision was the wrong direction. Maybe these are the wrong goals, or this is where I want to go, but we're not getting there. So what's wrong? Or we're spinning in circles, or, you know, the world is against us, and now this, you know, so-and-so was elected, or the stock market fell, or whatever external things are working against your business, mm-hmm. or someone opened up down the street. So I think that there's this challenge for leaders in how to really get their organization moving in a direction that has both traction in its tangible goals and its intangible dynamics is a really large, large abyss topic.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got to be a people. You've got to know how to. You've got to know your people. You've got to know how to treat them. You've got to know how to motivate them, and that's that's highly relational.
Yeah.
And then you've got this very objective. So you got to merge that objective and subjective, that relational versus task. And some people are highly relational and don't know how to do the task stuff. Some people are highly task oriented, don't know how to do the relational stuff. So, you know, leadership is huge in that because, oh God, I just sounded like Donald Trump there. you know, it is so difficult because you have to almost be all things to all people. I mean, you have to be almost a wizard.
Right. Which as a leader, you're like, what, who in the world can do that? Forget that.
Right.
So then it just can be very overwhelming or just too much to handle. So then either you shut down as a leader and you go, it's too hard, or you go, you know what? I don't get all that. I can't handle that. Boom. This is what we're doing.
Right.
And that's where you see that dictator, like, I can't process all this other stuff. So this is all we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. Yeah. And I mean, and then you lose your people and then you have nobody to follow you, nobody to help you. And then you have to turn around and hire new people, and it takes some time to get them up to speed about what's going on. And the, you know, and so now you have to learn completely different culture and, or different, well, it's going to be completely different because you've got a different people dynamic and group dynamic going on there. And it just, you get in that cycle of just turnover after turnover after turnover. And then you never get traction because you're always trying to train.
Yeah. People, even on the core of your business or what you're all about or what message you're trying to send. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's huge. That's a big one. And we don't think about that, too much. It takes a unique person to be able to manage that. So, mm-hmm. Well, it is 4 o'clock your time, 5 o'clock my time, and I know you have family stuff to do. So I would like to come back and finish the other two and then kind of talk about that other thing at some point. So,
yeah, awesome.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for listening in today. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.